In the book of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, the word faith is used 26 times just in one chapter. 23 times it says, by faith so-and-so did this, or by faith so-and-so did that. And Hebrews chapter 11 draws the greatest amount of its examples from Genesis 1 to 11. It just reaches back and shows us the faith it takes to believe that God created the earth. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was translated or taken, and he was not found. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared to himself an ark by the which he saved his house and condemned the world. So as we hear this foundation of our faith, the 66 books, the 66 stories of this building all rest on these 11 chapters. And let's keep an ear open as we hear it to that lens, that view of faith. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together onto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed was in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed was in itself upon the earth. And God saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply upon the earth. In the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping things, and beast of the earth after their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after their kind, cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for food, and to every beast of the field, and to every fowl of the air, and to every living thing that moveth upon the earth wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is Delium and the onyx stone. The name of the second river is Gihon, that is it which compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth towards the east of Assyria. The fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a help suitable for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to every fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help suitable for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves clothing. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be unto thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art. And unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And it came to pass in process of time that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flocks and of the fats thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and he slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me out of the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad. Irad begot Mehujael. Mehujael begot Methuselah. And Methuselah begot Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other Zillah. And Adah bare Jubal. He is the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name is Jubal. He is the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tuvalcain, an instructor of every artificer of brass and iron. And the sister of Tuvalcain was Nama. And Lamech said unto his wives Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enosh. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he begot Seth were 800 years. And he begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. And Seth lived after he begot Enosh 807 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. And he died. And Enosh lived 90 years and begot Cainan. And Enosh lived after he begot Cainan 815 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enosh were 905 years. And he died. And Cainan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. And Cainan lived after he begot Mahalalel 840 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Cainan were 910 years. And he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begot Jared 830 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years. And he died. And Jared lived 162 years and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and he begot a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Lamech were 777 years. And he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And it came to pass when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping things, and fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after their kinds. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according unto all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female. And of beasts that are not clean by twos, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and his female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth, and Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowl and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with him into the ark. They and every beast after their kind, all the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after their kind, every fowl after their kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth, and the Lord shut them in. And the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moves upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, creeping things, the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from off the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged the fountains also of the deep, and the windows of heaven were shut, and the rain decreased. Until the 10th month, in the 10th month, and then the ark rested on the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Oh, then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which came to him in the evening with an olive leaf plucked off in her mouth. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from the face of the ground. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dry. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, of the fowl and of the cattle and of the beast of the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing went forth out of the ark, after their kinds. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be food for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things, but flesh, which is the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require it. At the hand of every beast will I require it. At the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you be you fruitful, multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his son, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl and of the cattle and of the beast of the earth, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard and drank of the wine and was drunk. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered their father's nakedness. And their faces went backwards and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years. And he died. Now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tuvel, Meshech, and Tirus. And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphtah, and Togarmah. And the sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodamin. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided after their lands, after their tongues, after their families, and in their nations. The sons of Ham, Cush, Mizraim, Phut, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, and Sabtaka. And the sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, in the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar, and he went forth into Assyria and builded Nineveh, and the city Rehovot, and Calah, and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, the same as a great city. And Mizraim begot Ludim, Anumim, Leobim, Naphtarim, Pasluhim, and Casluhim, out of whom came the Philistines, and Kaphturim. And Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Hath, and the Jebusite, and the Amorite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Arkite, and the Sinite, and the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamatite. And afterwards were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar, unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admah, and Zeobim, even unto Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder, even to him were children born, and the children of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram, and the children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash, and Arphaxad begot Salah, and Salah begot Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided. And his brother's name was Yoktan. And Yoktan begat Elmodad, Shelaph, Hazarmaveth, and Jerah, Hadrum, Uzal, and Dikla, Oval, Alfer, Shafer, Ofer, Havilah, and Yovav. All these were the sons of Yoktan, and their dwelling was from Mesha, as thou goest unto Sephar, a mountain of the east. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, and in their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, and in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down in there, confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The word of the Lord. Well, let's switch gears, friends. We said we'd be done at 8:30. Are you sure? Okay. Okay, well, I guess when you leave the building tonight, here's what I want you to take with you. Remember Hebrews 11. Faith. By faith we believe that the world was framed by the word of God. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken, and he was not found. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And by faith, Noah, being warned of God. So the question I want us to leave with is, we know that we are saved by grace through, not of. So we understand that, and we believe that. So since we all understand that, and we all believe that, that's great. So as a side note then, so since that's already true, then what are we trusting Jesus to do in faith that only God can do? If we're not asking, we shall not be receiving. If you are not seeking, you're not going to find anything. Jesus said it this way. He said, what manner of man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask? What are we asking God to do that only Jesus can do? Maybe one of those things is memorizing. It's hard. I'm 37. I've been memorizing about 10 years. And God just laid it on my heart to, a donkey didn't talk to me, you know. I mean, an angel didn't visit me, nothing like that. I just knew, I kind of felt like Abraham. You know, I'm doing good in the suburbs of Chicago with a family business, and everything is going, and I will inherit this business, and you know? I sold everything and went to Bible college. And now all I knew from heart was John 3:16 at that time, even though I grew up going to a really good conservative church. But because the pastor and the teachers and my parents and everyone else didn't memorize, that passion didn't trickle down. So right before I left, my friend challenged me to memorize a short account from Matthew chapter 6. You know that one. Which of you by worrying could add one cubit to your stature, to your height? That's a really good section to memorize, right? Consider the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. What do we, you know? So I memorized it, and it was hard. But you know what? No matter where I was, no matter what I was doing, like we were reading or singing, it cleansed my conscience, my heart. Our minds wander. And having God's word in your heart does lots of different things. Number one, it protects, it safeguards your heart from the enemy, from bad thoughts, from whatever. So when they come, right, just because a bird lands on your head doesn't mean you have to let it build a nest. Get that? Okay, just shoo, right? And you shoo it with scripture. It makes you a better all the way around father, mother, child of God. You want to say something you shouldn't? Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. Someone cuts you off on the road. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully. Yeah. I mean, just all areas of your life, the word of God is what, and you know this, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. See, the world of the Bible, being able to live in Jerusalem for 4 years recently, it's so different than 21st century America. The power was in the spoken word in the world of the Bible. And God said, let there be light. Or Psalm 33 says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. So when you get to John 1, in the beginning was the word. Faith comes by not reading, hearing. Okay, by application 2,000 years later, reading. But in that world, someone you had to hear it. You couldn't go home and just open the Bible. So when Jesus is tempted by the devil in the wilderness, what does he do? He doesn't do anything but one thing. He just speaks the word of God. That's the sword. So when you get to Ephesians 6, the soldier of God passage, we all know that one. Everything we're wearing is defensive, isn't it? Helmet of salvation, shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness. Everything's defense except the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that word for word in Greek is rhema, not logos. Rhema, which means a thing spoken. So you're fighting with nothing in your hand, and your weapon, your sword, comes from within. That's why this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, or literally in Hebrew, it should be on your lips. The Bible should be on your lips. And you shall meditate in it day and night. The word meditate means to murmur, like a beast chewing something, swallowing it, and regurgitating it, and chewing it more. That's what we're supposed to do with God's word. Why should I do that? Well, first of all, you have to do it day and night. Then you'll be able to observe to do according to all that is written in it. The only way to know what to do is to know what to do in here. And then shall you make your ways prosperous. Spiritually speaking, then you will have good success. Prosperity, success in the sight of God is based or rooted in thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. If we did one verse a week, some of us, it's harder than I know. If you did a verse a week, less than a year, you could have the whole book of Jonah memorized or the whole book of Titus. Nobody cares how many books or verses you have memorized. David got in big trouble when he counted the people, didn't he? Right? It's just between you and God. But that word, that's the power source, because that's what's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Questions, comments, or concerns? There's three different ways to memorize, guys, generally speaking. The first, it may seem very obvious, but it's reading it. But the key is reading it aloud. Most people in America don't read aloud, especially in public. You would consider that person to be odd, much less in private. We read like this. You see, but when you read aloud, now you're another part of your mind is moving. Your mouth is speaking that word, and then it's going back in through your ear, filtered and back down into your heart. Your mouth is smart. Maybe some more than others, but it's very intelligent. It has a memory. It really does. So reading it aloud. The second important key is use the same Bible, if possible, the rest of your life. The same Bible. Because you know in your old Bible where John chapter 1 starts, don't you? Or where Genesis chapter 3 starts on the page, the format is so important. So reading aloud. Number two is by hearing it, having someone read it to you over and over, telling it to your children as they go to bed. You get the idea. But just hearing it. I think the first and the third ways are the best, if you ask me. And finally, the third way is by writing it out with pen and paper, a verse at a time, and saying it when you write it. That way, your eye, your mind, your hand, your ear, and your mouth are all working together. I memorize, I know it's a lot of time for some people, but about 30 to 45 minutes a day. Okay? And then throughout the day, whenever I have downtime, you know what I'm talking about, I review what I know in order from Genesis to Revelation to keep it sharp. To keep my mind sharp, to keep focus. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Setting your mind, right? So your mind's on a track every day. And then at the same time, while you're on that track from Genesis to Revelation, telling yourself everything you know from order, you're adding new verses to your weaponry. You can do it if you want to do it. Questions? Since the ice was broken? Well, I memorize, that was King James, and I also memorize sometimes out of New King James, either or. I only have it memorized in one translation. That would be too confusing. Like the book of Revelation is New King James, because I think it's easier to understand than King James's for Revelation, at least. But I like King James. I like the these and the thous, and it's a wonderful Bible. Yes, sir. For example, because I use the Schofield Study Bible. And the Schofield 1917 Study Bible was highly influenced by evolution. And a theory at that time came out called the day-age theory, where a day really doesn't mean a day. And basically what this theory was, who the translator, Schofield, was a Christian, but he was a proponent of. He had a foot in both camps. Creation and evolution. So he, in chapter 1, God tells Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's what it says in Hebrew. But in the Schofield translation, it says, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. So if you're replenishing something, what does that infer? That at one point it was already full, right? So he deliberately changed the word to make it fit his theology. And so I feel to honor the real meaning of the Hebrew to say that instead. Yeah. Look at, no one in here probably reads fluent Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek, right? We're all dealing with translations, right? And that's okay. Because when the New Testament writers quote the Old Testament, they use a translation. They don't quote it from the Hebrew Old Testament. They quote it from the Septuagint. So if the New Testament translators can say that this translation is the Word of God, which it is, so we too, if we have a good translation, we too can say we have the Word of God, even though there's going to be a little bit, I mean, after 4,000 years plus of writing and copying and handing down, you know, you're going to get very minor issues like that. Yeah. That's, yes. Sure, sure. Yes, exactly, right? Like in chapter 1, he says, I have given you every, what is it? I've given you every meat to eat. That's what it says. Every meat. Well, that's the opposite of what they were supposed to do, because when you think of meat, you think of steak, right? But they were not supposed to eat meat at that time. They only eat meat till after the flood. So in order just to keep it clear, right, I would say herb, which is the New King. So whenever there's a situation like that, I like to use the New King James word instead. Yeah. What our ministry does is it's hard to find people who will travel all around America in a fifth wheel with their family and live on faith and quote the entire book of Revelation from memory. Anybody interested? Yeah. Yeah, we love what we do, but it's hard to find people, so we're small, which is okay. So this is the one side of the coin of what we do. The other side is James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So we take that very seriously. So we have about 1,000 Christian orphans that we clothe, feed, shelter, and most importantly, teach about the Lord Jesus Christ every day in West Africa and India and Haiti. Yeah. Very good. Anyone else? No. I mean, little poems here and there, but, you know, of course, songs, music's so easy to memorize because it has meter and rhythm and beat to it. So, oh, I see what, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I just, you know, just like you, just try and, when was that birthday again? You know, oh yeah, you know, so. Think it is. I think your memory in a lot of ways is like other muscles in your body, and the more you exercise it, the stronger it becomes. It's a discipline that's lost in the world we live in, the print world we live in. You know, we live in like a file forget world. Most of us don't even have to memorize phone numbers anymore. You just press a button on your phone. And so our minds are not as strong, I think, as they once were way back when, even 100 years ago, you know. So yeah, I think the Bible memorization has tons of benefits, even outside of the spiritual world. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, I do. I teach at a Bible college in the land of fruits and nuts, California. And it's okay. It's a good Bible school. And I do. I teach classes there on Bible memorization and storytelling, Bible survey, archaeology and geography of the Holy Land, etc. Speaking of that, we'll be done in 1 minute, guys. Out in the foyer, there's a big table. And on the table, there's some really nice maps of the Holy Land, 5 foot high by like 2 or 3 foot wide. And they cover, one covers from Abraham all the way down to Ezra and Nehemiah, the other one Ezra and Nehemiah all the way to the Islamic period. Great maps to look at, to draw on, just to see how everything works. Yeah. Speaking of that, if you're not doing anything Sunday night, I'm giving a presentation on the geography and archaeology of Israel in Clearwater, wherever that is. One more? Anyone? Question? Comment? I hope you were blessed, and I hope you were challenged to hide God's word in your heart. The Lord bless you and keep you. Mr. Miller.